With Mike Sielski, I'm Glenn Mack. Now Saturday, it now turns to noon on 94 WIP, and we were looking for some closure on the Super Bowl today. If you still need to vent, we will take you. We're also trying to look forward. We're talking about free agents that the Eagles should keep, and we're going to talk a little baseball this hour. You know what's so funny, Mike? I found myself in recent years not enjoying watching baseball.
I'm with you right there.
I am hoping that the rule changes really address that in a positive way.
It is my ultimate old man on the porch, get off of my porch issue is fixing baseball.
Okay. But I still love following baseball, and I still like this year, spring training. And often it's like it's the end of winter, but we haven't had winter.
No.
We haven't had any snow. No. By the way, you know the great thing about not having any snow? And I just was thinking about this the other day.
No shoveling?
No potholes.
Oh,
see, no potholes.
Yeah, I just like.
Oh, you
around,
like potholes?
No, I don't like potholes.
You're a fan of the pothole?
I'm encountering potholes, I feel like.
Really?
Now, maybe it's construction related potholes.
I got road construction.
Yeah,
everywhere.
I feel like I'm driving through like.
I think all that pandemic money went into fixing the roads everywhere, and there's a pain in the neck because you get closed everywhere.
Yeah.
But I remember driving down City Line Avenue and feeling like I was going into the Grand Canyon at times.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you're saving money on hubcaps, that's for certain.
Anyway, but I don't know how I got that spring training, but I love spring training. I talked to Larry Anderson a little bit yesterday.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he's down there now. He was going to go today and try to watch Painter throw and like, you know.
Yeah, and there's something about baseball that's very tactile that makes it, when it comes back, it is, like, you know.
You know what I love? It's stupid, but it's when you watch the 6 o'clock news, right? Mm-hmm. And the sports guy comes on and is like, well, down in spring training. And they show the guys doing the calisthenics and the kind of dance where you go front foot. I'm doing it in the studio. Nobody's going to get it in the air. Front foot, back foot, swing your arms and like walk down a line. I don't know why. I enjoy that. It's dumb.
I just like the pitchers throwing and hearing the hiss of the ball and the pop of the mitt and all.
Oh, yeah. Come on. That's great.
Yeah.
Tony, New Jersey. What's going on, Tony?
Hey guys, great show. With Angela retiring this week, I want to take a moment and just say, hey, how much I enjoy listening to you guys and Glenn, especially you over the years, man. Great memories. I'll tell this really quick story you brought to light about the great sports debate, Al's story. So I'm like 12, 13 years old, and he had an article or some kind of newsletter for hockey. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Vaguely,
Yeah, I ordered it, and with my paper money, paper round money, and phone rings, and I answer, and it's Al asking about my payment on my whatever credit card didn't go through or something. But I'm like, I love that story. It's just like brings back like lots of the story. But I really enjoyed listening to that, watching the show over the years. But just trying to turn the chapter on the Eagles season, and waking up this morning and seeing that Manny Machado has opted out just made me feel.
He's planning on opting out. Yes.
Yeah, put a little smile on my face, right? And then he said something about there's a lot of money out there, and like, and we all knew at the time that we made the right decision with Harper, but man, just feels a little bit better. I mean, going into the season, we made the right decision, and guys like that just don't fit in Philly, and
I agree with you completely. Thank you so much for the call. I think the Harper personality thing, while it shouldn't have been the top priority of why the Phillies signed one over the other, it was a factor. John Middleton admitted it was a factor. I think Matt Klentak, the general manager at the time, preferred Manny Machado to Bryce Harper.
I got that sense, too.
Yeah, and turned out all to the good for the Phillies.
Listen, Harper's going to be here for a lot of years. There will be times where he is celebrated. There will be times when he is booed. He got booed his first year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he handled it well. And that's the thing. There are guys who come in and they're like, they're booing me?
Yeah.
And it could have gotten off to a really sour thing, but he handled it.
Yeah. Look, he has made the decision. I have invested in Philadelphia. This is where I'm going to live. This is where I'm going to spend my career. I've got to make this work. And if they dish it out, I'm going to take it.
By the way, this hour is brought to you by Meridian Bank, innovative business banking for entrepreneurial success. Mike in Bethlehem is with us.
Hey, how you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing all right.
Hey, two things real quick. I'm going to talk to some Jason Kelce, but I want to tell you what you guys as a sports radio and Angelo's morning show has meant to me over 40 years. you know, my morning routine is always, you know, I'm working from home now, but when I used to go in the office, you go to Wawa, you get your coffee, and you turn on WIP, right? That's what you do.
That's what I do.
I got struck down with a neurological problem about 8 years ago. I'm doing fine now. Everything's great. But for about 2 years, my life just turned upside down. I couldn't even leave the house for like half a year.
Oh, my gosh. Mm.
And the day that I was able to go back to work and get in my car and turn on the morning show, that's when I knew my life was back.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
And like, I didn't realize. I mean, do you guys realize how much of a part of our lives that you are? I mean, I mean, like, it's like family. You don't realize it until you. I couldn't listen to it because I couldn't leave the house. And that's what I did. I listened to it in a car. I listened to you guys in the afternoon. I listened to, you know, Howard at night.
Mike, I will say this, and I want to get your Kelsey thoughts too. But what you just said is something that, and it's funny because when Mike and I were talking about Mike coming in and doing this, one of the things I said to him was exactly what you said, which is, we are really privileged that people allow us into their lives, into their house, or you into the car while you were going to get the Wawa. And even though we've never met you, I presume I've never met you, there is a connection there that you feel, and therefore that I feel. And we're privileged to do it. And Angelo connected in a way that allowed him to be at the top of the ratings for more than 30-something years, and it's an astounding thing. Let's get your thoughts on, I'm assuming it's Jason, not Travis, you want to talk
about. No, yeah. It's Jason, man. It's Jason. So, yeah, I'm finally, slowly starting to get over the Super Bowl loss. But I just want to focus on Jason Kelce. Man, legend or not, legend or what, man? He's Philly. He's the man. He's everything. I mean, like, he's like,
yeah.
I just can't say enough about that.
I know.
Guy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, his class, his, and the thing that blows me away that I'll never forget is watching a game, and there was a play. It was about 60 yards down from the line of scrimmage. Guy was about to go out of bounds, and out of nowhere, out of the corner of the screen, down there among the cornerbacks, comes Jason Kelce into the picture, blocking somebody. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yep.
That guy just ran 60 yards downfield and put somebody on their back.
He is going to be, and Mike, thanks so much, and appreciate
that was a great
it,
call,
and hope
Mike.
You're feeling well. Really do.
Yeah, thank you.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer, and the fact that is his age, he is still running downfield, leading blocking, is remarkable. We don't know if he's going to retire. If I had to bet, I would bet he's going to play another year, but it's might just be based on my hope.
Yeah, I think it's 51-49, and I don't know which is the 51 and which is the 49.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, Glenn. He spoke at one of the kiosks or podiums after the Super Bowl. They put the most important players of the game up on these kiosks for the media to talk to. And then after he was finished, he came back in the locker room and spent another 15 minutes talking to some of us who were around the team a fair amount. And it was interesting. He mentioned, I know I'm not as good as I used to be, which was kind of striking to hear because if you listen to observers of the NFL, they'll say he's as good as he's ever been.
Looked pretty good to me.
Yeah. But he said at one point, I know where I'm not quite as good.
Uh-oh.
And boy, it just...
That sounds ominous,
know.
Mike.
Yeah. I don't mean to make it sound ominous because it was the aftermath of the Super Bowl, and there's a lot of emotions going through him. I don't know if you saw this, Glenn. There was that one clip of Jason hugging his mother on the field after the game, and the both of them are in tears. And they let go of their embrace, and he says to her, now go be with Trav.
Mm-hmm.
Go be with Travis. And it was an amazing week to watch, particularly Jason.
I tell you, yeah. I did not see that because as soon as the Super Bowl ended, I went and walked away.
Understandable.
I just didn't want to watch it.
Understandable.
At that point.
But it was one of those sort of moments where it was the perfect kind of capstone to the week because he in particular handled that whole situation, pardon me, so well. Every question he got asked for the millionth time was as if he got asked for the first time. And he was very gracious and very open the entire week. And, you know, even though I cover him and even though I'm supposed to maintain a distance from him and the team, and I do my best to do that, it's hard not to appreciate somebody who treats people that way.
Yeah, it's great. And just came here and just owns the city.
It'll, yeah.
When he retires, we'll be interested to see what he does and if he wants to just lay around in his backyard, you know, on a lounge chair, drinking a beer for the rest of his life. He's earned that too.
You think he would come here and
I think he would be great here. They got him last year to fill in a morning show, and he was naturally terrific. I mean, he does the podcast with his brother.
Sure.
I think that the hours here, I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know that he would want to commit to something full-time like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyway, we've spent a good amount of time today talking about Angelo Cataldi because he retired. Yesterday was the last day after a 33-year career here. And I have talked about working with him, coming to the station soon after him. By the way, he vouched for me. I wouldn't have gotten the way he helped get you into Columbia. The morning show. So you have a different perspective because, in a sense, Angelo was your boss.
Yes.
He is legendary for being really hard and demanding.
That is correct. Yeah. So actually, I don't want to start this off. Born in 1995. So I only know sports radio and WIP as Angelo in the morning. So when I obviously got the opportunity to start working for him, I was a little bit starstruck, a little nervous, scared, you know, to go in and work under him. And then after my first day, I was 10 times more scared to go back in and work with him because, yeah, you just said it. He was tough. He did not tolerate failure. And when I was just sort of breaking in, obviously would fail once or twice. And Angelo didn't really give you any slack, even if you were new. He demanded excellence on his show, and he expected it from me. And you know what? He deserved it. He never took segments off. He never coasted. His foot was on the gas the whole time. So I learned a ton about the industry from Angelo, and I'm really, really appreciative of the time that I spent with him. And that those are kind of just the lessons that I picked up, is that every minute of every segment of every show is full throttle because the listeners demand it and you owe it to them. So that was just a few big things that I picked up from Angelo.
Nicely said. Yeah. Very nice.
Well said, Kyle.
Get Paul from South Philly before the break. Paul, my hunch is you're still upset about one play.
You're right. Well, I don't think it's the play that killed. I think there's other factors. But here's the thing that's been sticking in my craw all week. Look, Eagles are my team, but I get it. Patrick Mahomes is phenomenal.
Yep.
Imagine if that same scenario happened but was reversed, where Jalen overthrows, say, Quez Watkins, and they're going to have to kick a field goal, but the Chiefs get called for holding, and they take the ball out of Pat Mahomes' hands. Otherwise, Mahomes would have had a minute 45, which he's done. Mm. Imagine what the human cry around the NFL and the league would have been like. I'm wondering if the refs would have even made that call or would they have picked up the flag.
It's an interesting point. I will say this. One of the things I noticed in watching it and watching the replays is the ref does not make the call until Mahomes points downfield at the play.
Yeah.
Now, can I say that the ref kind of was influenced by Mahomes? I don't know, but I don't think you're crazy if that crosses your mind.
Yeah. And then another thing about his ankle, and God, you know, he was great. I saw him 2 weeks in a row playing the ankle, but I mean, come on, I think that was overblown. I was waiting for him to throw on a bloody sock.
oh, man.
For the last quarter, I mean.
Paul, thanks, pal.
Appreciate the call. Here's the thing, though. I mean, a high ankle sprain is no joke. If he actually, I don't know, Paul may think it is.
That was ketchup on the bloody sock. Yeah.
But look, he played very, very well in that game, and he did it basically, you know, on one ankle. And although Paul does raise an interesting hypothetical there, you know, if the situation had been reversed, are the officials going to take the ball out of Mahomes' hands with a minute 40 to go?
You know, the only thing that bothered me about his call, why do you have to make it Quez Watkins? And that's another thing. We talked about all the, you know, this happened, they lost because of this. He should have caught that ball, man.
He said at cleanout day on Tuesday that he'd been playing for several weeks with a shoulder sprain. But in fairness, Glenn, he also said he did not have a good year. He needs to be better. So I appreciated Quez doing that. It was more than Jonathan Gannon did after the Super Bowl.
Okay. So he came up and he fessed up that he blew it. That's fine.
Glenn, I'm trying to ensure that honor does not die in our society. Okay?
I appreciate that. 215-592-9494. We're going to talk next with Matt Gelb, who is down in Florida basking in the sun, will give us a little bit of a Phillies report. Matt from The Athletic, of course. Don't forget, this is our sponsor by Meridian Bank, innovative business banking for entrepreneurial success. Mike Sielski, Glenn Mack, now on 94 WIP.